Anais in Hollister, California on 1200 AM. You are up next. Hello, Anais.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Okay, great. I just want to begin by thanking you for this show because I do want to be persuaded to switch my stance. I am Catholic, so I am very open-minded.
Okay.
This is the one thing I felt a little guilty about, but I lack knowledge. I lack knowledge, and I think that's where pro-choice stance comes from.
You are in good company because Patrick and I don't know a lot of things, so we're happy to continue to look for the truth.
And yet we know that we don't know. It's a paradox. No, you sound very humble, Anais. You sound like you're on a journey, and I'm glad you waited.
So why
I am
would
definitely on a journey.
Great. So why would you identify as pro-choice then?
There are two reasons, but I know we only have time for one.
Okay.
So the one that I'm going to present is, I know that God has given us free will, which is my understanding is that is why Satan exists.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I feel that when we enact laws or support laws that are pro-life, we are robbing people of that free will that God has given us.
Okay.
So in essence, I feel as if we're acting as God because we're going above and beyond what God has allowed us.
Okay.
To do for ourselves.
Well, Anais, let me ask you a question. What do you think it means for a person to have free will? When we say that Todd has free will, but a refrigerator or a little Roomba robot you name Todd does not have free will, what does it mean for humans to have free will, but robots or appliances do not? What does that mean?
So for me, my understanding of free will is that every day we're presented with decisions that we have to make. And our free will allows us to decide whether we're going to do the right thing or the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, for myself, I would not want to have an abortion, and I would.
Okay.
I have sisters that I would advise and counsel not to. However, I feel that God has given us the free will, which is the ability to decide.
Okay.
So that if we enact laws that are pro-life, we are taking people's free will from them.
Well, I think, Anais, I would disagree a little. I mean, you're right. The ability to decide is a part of free will. But classically in philosophy, we say that for someone to have free will, it means their actions are not determined by something outside of them. So a robot is determined by the programming of the programmer. You know, it's determined by something outside. Now, a human determines their own actions. But let me give you an example. Suppose someone goes into a store and there's something they've really wanted to buy for a long time, but they don't have enough money to get it, and they really need it for this weekend, like a dress or a appliance or something, or a small game, a video game. And now they can decide whether it's right or wrong for them to take it because they think they really need it and the store won't miss it. So we would agree that if they choose to take it, they freely do it. They use their free will to steal it. Would you agree, though, that having a law that says that shoplifting is illegal, that doesn't take away someone's free will to steal, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so we have laws. Like, people can decide what's right or wrong. Well, here's the thing. People can decide to do what's right or to do what's wrong, but people don't get to decide on their own what is right and what is wrong. That's objective. And so when we live in a country or a culture where we're trying to interact with one another in a peaceful way, we need laws. You know, we have a law that says, hey, you can't drive 120 miles an hour in a school zone. You'll put people at risk. I don't care if you think it's the right thing to do. Now, we still have free will because we can choose to disobey the law. So if there's a law that protects the unborn and gives them rights, people have free will. They can disobey that law. In fact, there are laws now that protect wanted unborn children. If a mom wants her baby and someone stabs her in the stomach against her will, they freely choose to do that. The law punishes them for killing in 35 states and under federal law. The law punishes them for killing a wanted unborn baby. So all I'm saying as a pro-lifer is the laws should be extended to cover the unwanted babies also. And no one's free will is infringed. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
That made sense in a whole different way. There's just a two part.
You have an open mind, so I'm going to give you a free credit. What was the second part?
You get a hallway pass.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you. So the second part of my dilemma here is that I have been a court-appointed special advocate for children.
Okay.
And I know that there are many children suffering in the foster care system, in group homes.
Right.
And in the homes of their own parents, the parents here on Earth,
yeah.
because they may come from an abusive household or have parents that have addiction problems.
Yes.
So I know that sometimes the population that seeks an abortion is some of these people have the children are unwanted.
Yeah.
The children are unwanted, mm-hmm. whether it's the product of a rape or for whatever reason.
Sure.
So then I wonder, if by voting pro-choice, mm-hmm. am I in essence saving those children from a lifetime of abuse or at least part of their life being extremely abused? Am I saving them from abuse, trauma?
Yeah, Anais, I can safely say Trent has had this question in various forms many times.
Yes, I would say that there is sometimes a solution to a problem we propose. The solution is worse than the problem itself. So in cases where a child is going to be born, maybe they'll be in an abusive environment. Maybe they won't. We're not sure. But I think we would agree that many children who are in foster care or who are in an abusive situation did not start out that way. Maybe everything was fine at home, and then the dad lost their job and ended up abusing alcohol, and then the abuse starts. Or things, you know, abuse starts when they're 1 or 2 years old, or their parents die, or go to prison, and then they're put in foster care unexpectedly. So what should we do then if we have a born child, if we have a 1-year-old, a 6-month-old, who was in a good situation and now is in a bad situation? Well, I think you and I would agree, we would not kill the 1-year-old or the 6-month-old to protect them from having a awful life ahead of them. We would try to fix their life. That when we talk about unwanted children, there's two ways that we can approach the issue. To what do we do about the problem of unwanted children? Well, we could get rid of the child part. And so if we just eliminate the child's existence, there is no more unwanted child. But I don't think we should commit violence against little children. Or when it comes to the problem of unwanted children, we can leave the child part and just change the unwanted to wanted. And the fact of the matter is that there, especially for newborn babies, there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of couples who are waiting to adopt children. Mm-hmm. And it takes an average 5 to 10 years to adopt, that there are so many loving parents who are waiting to adopt. And many couples who would raise their children that if they're just given the right mentorship and resources can overcome whatever abuse, addiction, or personality problems that are keeping them from being good parents. So deep down inside, God has given them grace to be a good parent. God has entrusted them with a child. They just have to be able to cooperate with that grace, and maybe they need some help to be able to do that. But I think we should pick those solutions, nonviolent solutions, and not eliminate the child's life because of a possible future threat to their health.
Anais, I appreciate your call. I know you'll enjoy your free gifts. Thanks for joining us on Catholic Answers Live.